not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us. We do want to call your attention to our website, www.gospeldynamite.org. On there you'll find a number of resources and much to do and much to say about our ministry. We have video lessons, we have podcasts, and we have merchandise on there that will bless your heart, and we trust that you'll take part in that. We do want to say thank you to those who have supported this ministry. God bless you. It helps keep us on the air, and it also helps keep us in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go into the message of the Word of God. Thank you for listening to Gospel Dynamite. In our last session, we focused on the wrath of God in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Today, we want to look at the reasons for the wrath of God. The reasons for the wrath of God. Again, we take our text in Romans chapter 1 and we look at verse 18 to 23. Verses 18 through 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. The wrath of God is a proven fact. In fact, the Bible doesn't seek to prove it. It merely stated as a reality. God is a God of love, but at the same time, He's a God of intense wrath. His wrath is revealed in the world today and will be experienced in eternity by every person who leaves this world without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some may wonder why God even possesses wrath as part of His nature. The answer to that question is found in these verses. God tells us in the clearest words why His wrath is kindled against the children of this world. Let's look at the passage together, and we're going to notice four different reasons that are given for the wrath of God. First, we notice in verse 18, we see man's rebellion toward God. Man is ungodly by nature and by choice. This means that he has no relationship with God, and because he has no relationship with the Almighty, his relationship with man is also destroyed. Man is in open rebellion against the Lord, and this is by his own choice. This is proven by verses like Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:12. Another sign of man's rebellion is the fact that he knows the truth about God. This will be revealed more clearly in just a moment, but even though he knows the truth, he holds, or verse 18 says he suppresses the truth. Man willfully suppresses the truth of God so that he may continue in his sins. Mankind is absolutely enslaved to his sin, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Beyond that, man stubbornly holds to his sins while he seeks to undermine the truth of God. In verses 19 and 20, we see man's revelation of God. What is this truth that man suppresses? It is the very revelation of God Himself. You see, God has a strong desire to reveal Himself to mankind. God wants them to come to know Him so that they will come to know Him personally. To do this, God manifests Himself to man in millions of ways every day. Let's notice a few of them. First, we see the place of God's revelation. Notice where Paul says that God is revealed. He says, in them. The idea is that men have all the truth they need to come to know God within themselves. The truth of God is in the heart and in the mind of mankind. As a very young girl, Helen Keller was stricken by a disease that left her blind, deaf, and mute. A lady by the name of Ann Sullivan worked tirelessly and selflessly to help Helen learn to communicate. Eventually, Helen learned to communicate through touch, and she even learned to talk. When Ann Sullivan tried to tell Helen Keller about God, the girl's response that she already knew about God. She just didn't know His name. All this teaches us that even without a Bible, man can come to know about God. We should praise the Lord that this is the truth that God reveals to us. His desire to reach man runs so deep that He places the revelation of Himself within the very creatures that have turned their backs on Him. What a Savior. What a Lord. The power of God's revelation of Himself lies in its scope. God has placed His truth all about us. The Bible backs this up. Just read Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. God's revelation of Himself is so strong and clear that all creatures that are rational are bound to acknowledge and worship Him. We call our attention to the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. Now let's notice several areas where God's person is on display. Think of the seed that becomes a mighty tree. Think of birds that are able to navigate by the stars even when they're raised in a windowless room and shown an artificial sky. They're able to turn themselves in the right direction. Think that there are giant telescopes that can view objects that are over 4 billion light years away. That's the distance of 25 million septillion miles. Think that most scientists now believe that this massive universe came into existence at a specific instance in time. Did you know that among major scientists, evolution is very much out of vogue? Many now suspect that a higher intelligence had everything to do with it. Think that any given instant, there are over 1,800 storms in operation at any given time. The energy needed to create and sustain these storms amounts to an incredible figure of 1.3 billion horsepower. Think that there are over 10 million species of insects in the world. Think about the earth. The earth is 25,000 miles in circumference, weighs 6,588 sextillion tons, and hangs on absolutely nothing. It spins at 1,000 miles per hour with absolute precision and careens through space around the sun at the speed of 1,000 miles per minute in a yearly orbit that is 580 billion miles long. Think that the head of a comet can be from 10,000 to 1 million miles long and travel at a speed of 350 miles per second. Think about the sun. The sun's radiated energy could be converted into horsepower. It would be equivalent to 500 million, million, billion horsepower. Each second it consumes about 4 million tons of matter. Think that light from the sun travels at 186,281 miles per second. At this rate, it would take light 125,000 years just to travel across our galaxy. And the Milky Way is just one galaxy among billions in the universe. Now imagine that all of this just happened. Absolutely no way. There is absolutely no way that this just happened out of happenstance, by accident. It had a purpose. It had an intelligent designer. It had a creator. God did all of these things to prove to man that He is real and that He possesses great power. No wonder the Bible declares, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now we look at the purpose of God's revelation. The purpose is to force man to a moment of decision. God's decision is that every person bow before Him in humble repentance and worship. However, not all will. Therefore, God has given man every conceivable revelation of Himself and has left those who refuse to get right with God without any excuse for their continued state of sin. This universe is in the Lord's courtroom, and in it He has proven conclusively that He exists. Those who refuse to believe in God have been faced with the evidence and are left with no excuse for their behavior. They are guilty as charged, and when they face Jesus at the great white throne judgment, found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, they will hear the charges read in clear terms. They will all be forced to bow before Him and acknowledge Him as Lord of all. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Now we've seen the man's rebellion toward God. We've seen man's revelation of God. Now notice with me in verse 21, the Bible says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now we see man's rejection of God. When man has been faced with the truth of God, he makes his stand against God. He has moved into the realm of rejection. Now this rejection of God is seen in two different areas of life. First, they gave God no glory. That is, they refused to magnify and exalt God as God. Their primary goal was the glorification of self. Men failed to honor God when they refused to give Him the place in their lives that He deserves. God deserves the first place. But those who walk in unrighteousness and open rebellion against the Lord give Him no place at all in their lives. Therefore, He is not glorified in them. As a result, He is filled with wrath at the foolishness and the sinfulness of man and his rebellion. They gave God no glory. Secondly, they gave God no gratitude. While they denied God, they took all the things that He had given man to teach man about Himself, and they used it for their own selfish gains, without a single thought being given to the great Creator. Because they rejected the Lord and His truth, they were given over to wretched lives. The Bible says they were given over to a reprobate mind. Because they rejected Christ, because they rejected God and His truth, they're given over to wretched lives. Now note what the rest of the verse says about their condition. Theirs is a hollow life. Vain imaginations means a futile existence. They are living for themselves, or so they think. In reality, they're merely wasting their time. They fill their days with themselves, but eventually those days will end and they will find that their time has been wasted and been entirely in vain. Now, what does it mean if a man accomplishes great things in this life and in the end he goes to hell? The answer is it means that he has wasted his life. He has wasted his opportunity. He has wasted his time on earth. And it would have been far greater, far better had he never been born in the first place than wasted his time. If he dies without Christ, he has lost the only thing he genuinely possessed. He has lost his soul, according to Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. Not only that, but theirs is a horrible life. This verse says that when they turned their backs on the light of God's truth, their foolish heart was darkened. What men seem not to understand is that the only alternative to light is darkness. As they move farther away from the light, they move farther into the darkness. That's why I say that their life is a horrible life. It is bad to think of a possibility of anyone going to hell without God. But add to that life that it's spent in this cruel world without a relationship with the loving Heavenly Father. That is a horrible life. To life all those years trapped in a dark dungeon of their own making. Living there, thinking you're happy, thinking that you're whole, and all the while the cancer of sin is destroying you from the inside. Then when it's too late to realize that all the while you could have had a relationship with God and then went to His heaven and spent eternity with Him, that's a horrible life. That's a horror beyond words. They've wasted their life. They wasted their time. They wasted everything that God has given to them. Now in verses 22 and 23, we see, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now let me say a few things about verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's no doubt that many in the world are educated beyond their intelligence. And while that may seem cutting as a remark, it's not meant to be so, because the fact remains that many are very well educated in the circles of academia. However, while they're professing themselves to be wise, God calls them fools, because they're rejecting God and because they're choosing darkness over light. He, God, reacts to their foolish regression. When man turns on the Lord and closes his eyes to the truth of God, he really thinks he's wise. His perception of himself is that he has all the angles figured out and all the bases covered. In reality, God says that while they think they're so smart, they're nothing but fools. I didn't say that. God said that. Sinners have it all backwards. To the world's eyes, the Christian, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Christian, the believer in Jesus Christ, is the biggest fool in existence. He misses out on all the pleasures of the world. He misses out on all the fun. He places his faith in a man who died 2,000 years ago, but looked for him to return at any time. From God's perspectives, however, the wisest decision any person has ever made is to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I would rather be perceived to be a fool this morning than I had to live in sin and prove that I am a fool at the end of life. And verse 23, God, reacts to false religion. You see, man says no to God. Then he turns around, he invents things to worship. Talk about how foolish that is. Talk about complete idiocy. What the Lord is telling us is that man is a religious creature. If he doesn't worship God, he'll manufacture a God to worship. If that doesn't scratch his itch, he will find another man to give his worship to. If that doesn't fit the bill, then he will ultimately set himself up to be his own little god and will live his life only to worship and glorify himself. That's what a man does when he's left to himself. However, notice, if you will, the downward spiral. Man, birds, animals, reptiles, in verse 23. It is just the opposite of what some people believe about evolution. Notice that when man steps away from God, he doesn't evolve, he devolves. He doesn't progress upward, he regresses downward. And all of this tends to prove the point that a life without God is a life that is not only wasted, but a life without God is a life that is on a downward pathway. Walking away from God doesn't prove that you're wise. It merely proves that you are a fool. And it proves that you want your life to be a disaster and your eternity a failure. It is a sad, sad shape to be in. These are the four reasons why God is angry with sinners. God has given His best. Jesus Christ was God's best. When we needed a payment, a final, a supreme payment, a supreme and perfect sacrifice, God did not send a cherubim. He did not send a seraphim. He did not send the archangel. God sent His Son because His Son was the only one who was willing to go. His Son was the only one who was perfect. His Son was the only one who was sinless. And He was the only one who could pay the price for our sin. He laid down His life. These are the four reasons why God is angry with sinners. God gave mankind His best. God gave mankind His creation. God gave mankind the light of conscience. God gave mankind the Lord Jesus. And if you ask me, a holy and righteous God has plenty of reason to be filled with wrath. I wonder this morning if there are areas of this message that spoke to some rebellious soul, some rebellion out there in your heart. I certainly don't presume to know hearts this morning. But I'm sure that not everyone who's listening is precisely in the center of the will of God. For all of us, there is always room for improvement. And if you'd like to make that improvement, then I would invite you to do business with God today. Whether it's a need for salvation, whether it's a need for confession, or pray about some type of need, or to pray about lost people in your family. There's no better place. There's no better time than where you are right now. If the Lord's spoken to you, do business with God. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, do business with God. We're living in a time in which Jesus could come at any moment. Jesus could come at any moment. And so be ready. Each and every one of us is going to stand before God. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus Christ has already paid the sin debt if you've accepted Him as your Savior. You will be judged based upon your works and you will be rewarded. If you're unsaved, you will not be at that appointment. If you're unsaved, you will be at the next appointed time, which is the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment in which God will judge all people who are lost, that is, without Christ. You will not have a second chance. You will stand before God and you will give an account for your life. You will be judged and you will be punished. And the Bible says that you will be cast into the lake of fire. You can believe it or not. You will be at this appointment. You can laugh at it if you will. You will not be laughing at the appointment. You can deny it if you want and say it's not true. It is true. You will be at this appointment. But you don't have to be. You can accept Christ as your Savior. You say, well, preacher, how do I accept Christ as my Savior? You come to Him and you admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you believe that Jesus Christ paid the price. Jesus Christ paid the price for your redemption. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Jesus Christ paid for your sin debt. Jesus Christ offers this as a free gift to you today. And then Romans 10, 9 and 10, you confess with your mouth and your heart that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can experience the joy of walking and living in Jesus, and you can experience forgiveness of your sin, and you can know what it means to be forgiven in Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Consider Him. Consider Him. Come to Jesus today.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.